What do you pull from there, Steve?
I see that right from the beginning, making sacrifices for the next generation. And as I was reading this, I thought about this church, about you guys, and all the sacrifices that we make for the next generation. I have the cool opportunity to help out with our youth ministry. And so many of our adults have helped out directly volunteering in our youth ministry. And it actually reminded me of a couple weeks ago when we had our bake sale. And this was something that we cared about, sending kids to Camp Homewood from Campbell River. And you guys all chipped in and supported, and we raised almost $1,000 to do that. And I remember I was talking with people. There were people with diabetes that bought cookies just for the heck of it, just to support you guys. So I really want to thank you guys. And when I see this, making sacrifices for the next generation, I think of our community of believers here in this church making sacrifices for our youth. So
that's great. And you know what? The statistics show that, I'm trying to pull this from the sticky side of my brain, so it might be a little bit wrong, but I think it's 70% of church kids, maybe you as a youth pastor would know this, 70% of church kids will leave the church by the time they're a young adult.
Yeah.
And that's pretty scary. And so there needs to be some sacrifice. There needs to be a focus on youth.
Yeah, that's so important. I just want to echo what Jeff is saying, and I also want to encourage you guys, because I see that community that you guys are forming here with our youth, and I think it's great and it's crucial. I think it's fighting that statistic.
Yeah, so. Part of that sacrifice would be making sure we connect with these youth in the way that is best for them to connect to the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
That is a sacrifice.
Even if they seem annoying to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they don't.
You guys aren't annoying. Don't let them.
You.
Don't hear that.
Yeah.
It's just Steve who's annoying.
I'm a little annoying sometimes, but they're great.
If they're annoying, it's because Steve teaches them to be annoying.
That's fair.
All right. Chris, how about you? Can you pull anything from there?
I can't. I wrote some stuff out. Can I read it?
No.
Okay.
What? How many pages is that?
No, it's just one page. It's only 50 seconds. You can time me.
Okay.
So I thought that it's a little bit strange for a God so big to ask 12 humans to bring a rock and make a cairn, like make a, you know, a memorial. It's a bit of a strange thing to do. Not that I'm doubting God, but I wondered why. Like after I read it, I thought, why did he do that? Why did he ask them to do this? And I think it's because God knows that because we're human, we often forget what he's done in the past, and that we're going to forget some of what he's doing now and what he will do in the future, because we're not good at remembering and acknowledging everything he has done and is doing. But God has always been and continues to be faithful, and he keeps building his kingdom through his children in Campbell River. Like just in this body of believers alone, I remember the hard work of all the people who took part in programs like EE, knocking on doors, sharing their faith, canvassing their neighborhoods. I remember many reconstructions of Bethlehem in the gym, and thousands of people night after night coming through and soaking in the birth story of Jesus. I remember when they staked this building, the foundation of this building, and construction began because God was moving in the hearts of people to provide a bigger place for even more people to come and do God's work. And I'm only remembering from the last 16 years. I had the privilege of having communion a couple of weeks ago with Lloyd Gregory, one of the founding pastors of this church over, I don't know, it was 40 or 50 years ago. Think of the stories he could tell of how God was working through the hearts of people to establish a flourishing, serving church body. And I see God at work today, too. People are growing, getting saved by Jesus on Monday nights and freedom sessions. People are praying for one another and crying out to God on Sunday nights at the well. More people are singing to God with the music that touches their hearts on Sunday mornings in two different services. People are meeting in their homes during the week to discuss Jeff's sermons and diving deeper into the Word of God. We continue to support many missionaries who are spreading the gospel and the love of Jesus all over the world. God is moving in the hearts of people now in Campbell River, and he will continue with the power of his Holy Spirit to convict, forgive, and redeem people in the future. So as much as we should remember what God has done in the past, we need to acknowledge what he's doing now, and we need to be excited about what he's going to do here in the future.
All right.
That's a good point. Remembering what he's done, the stories that we keep, but not staying there with them. They're mm-hmm. we're not meant to camp there, but to keep moving ahead, mm-hmm. and the story will continue to unfold.
Mm-hmm. And you're very right. We do forget to remember. We forget to remember. We so easily, as soon as there's a hardship in front of us, we forget that God is good for now. And it's so important. You know, all we have is right now. That's all we have. We don't have yesterday. We don't have tomorrow yet. We just have right now. And God is big enough for now, and he's big enough for tomorrow. And Jesus said in Matthew 6, why do you worry about tomorrow when you've got enough to worry about today? And so let's remember what God has done in the past. All right. Chris, can you read from verses 12 through 18?
Sure. The armed warriors from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh led the Israelites across the Jordan, just as Moses had directed. These armed men, about 40,000 strong, were ready for battle, and the Lord was with them as they crossed over to the plains of Jericho. That day the Lord made Joshua a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites, and for the rest of his life they revered him as much as they had revered Moses. The Lord had said to Joshua, command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant to come up out of the riverbed. So Joshua gave the command. As soon as the priests carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came up out of the riverbed and their feet were on high ground, the water of the Jordan returned and overflowed its banks as before. Hmm. I'm just thinking about the 40,000 strong. That's like in Lord of the Rings, you know, when they looked out of the tower and they saw all of the armies and they're just blown away by how many people. That's how many people it was. It was huge. 40,000 is a lot of people.
Hmm. It is a lot of people. Well, let's think about those 40,000. I'm about to get dressed. Oh,
go ahead.
Let's think about those 40,000 people, those 40,000 soldiers who were armed for battle. Who were they? Do me a favor just for a second. Look to the left and look to the right. Those are part of that 40,000 people right there, the people who are armed for battle. Those are the people who are taking the gospel into the community, the same as the other evangelical churches in Campbell River.
Amen.
Those aren't the people who were battling, the people on your left and on your right. Those people out there aren't the people that were battling, right? I mean, those 40,000 men were going across. They didn't know what they were going to encounter. They didn't know much, but they knew who was battling for them. And that's the same as what we know. You know, we're battling, you know, we're not battling flesh and blood out there.
Yeah, good point. We're the Lord's army, and we have to put that in the right context. Ephesians 6 says that our weapons of war are not physical weapons, but they are spiritual weapons, and warfare is against powers and principalities. That doesn't mean it's disconnected from the real world, but that, you know, that obviously plays out on the landscape as well. But it's important to also notice who our enemy is, right? Matthew chapter 16, I believe, talks about the fact we're not against the people who are outside of these church walls in the city. We're against the one who's holding them captive. And Matthew 16 says how we're supposed to go out and not even the gates of hell will be able to hold us back from setting the captives free. So it's not us versus the culture per se. It's us going out to see people set free in Jesus' name. So we have to make sure we're careful on that.
Yeah, culture is not the enemy, mm-hmm. right? The people out there aren't the enemy. The enemy is not flesh and blood. The enemy is Satan, the enemy of our souls. And he wants to keep us inside the walls of the church, protected and not going out. And what God wants to do, God's got a bigger plan for us, and it's a good plan, and it's to take us out into the city and then to do some good God work and to allow him to do his work through us. That's beautiful.
And the stories will continue to multiply,
yeah.
The God stories.
Yeah, lots of stories.
It's actually, as you guys are talking about all this, it reminds me of a couple weeks ago I saw the second Hunger Games movie. Has anybody seen that one?
Hunger Games?
Hunger Games, anybody?
Boo!
No, the premise of the movie is the president or the capital, they forced 24 people into this arena. And only one is going to get out. And Katniss is the main character of the story. And this is a spoiler alert for you guys who are like reading the books. I know Jeff's mad at me for saying this right now. So Katniss is the main character of the story. And she forms this alliance, and she's doing well. And at a certain point in the movie, she gets very confused. She doesn't know who she can trust anymore. And it seems as though her alliance has been broken. And she sees off in the distance this member in her alliance, and she raises her bow, and she's thinking about shooting this person. All the while, the president, who's forced these people in here, is watching this happen. And he's thinking, yes, Katniss, shoot this person. That's what he wants. And just before her ally sees her raise the bow, he says to Katniss, remember who the real enemy is. And instead of shooting at him, she shoots it up at the arena. It's a great picture of who the real enemy is. It's not the people in this church. It's not our community. It's Satan. And it's so important that we remember those points that you guys said.
That's great. That's a great illustration, even though it was a spoiler alert for me. Adrian, want to read 19 to 24?
The people crossed the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. Then they camped at Gilgal, just east of Jericho. It was there at Gilgal that Joshua piled up the 12 stones taken from the Jordan River. Then Joshua said to the Israelites, In the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes, and he kept it dry until you were all across, just as he did at the Red Sea, when he dried it up until we had all crossed over. He did this so all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so you might fear the Lord your God forever.
Mm-hmm. What do you pull from there? That's huge.
Yeah, I think that you look at the story. You look at when they were on the other side of the river. It was way bigger than they could have done. You know, we talked at the beginning that they didn't know what was in front of them, but they knew who was with them. They knew that God was with them. And this story was way bigger. Crossing the Jordan, they couldn't have done it without God. And that's what I pull. You know, the story for us is what he can do. It has to be bigger than what we can do on our own. And it doesn't matter if it's with our time, doesn't matter if it's with our treasure, doesn't matter with our talents. We will need him to be in it to accomplish what he has for us.
God's got a bigger story for us, for each of us.
Way bigger.
All right, Chris, anything from there?
For me, it's the last verse. He did this so all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so you might fear the Lord your God forever. That stood out because fearing God is not something that we talk about very much, and I think it's because we associate fear with anticipating that he might do something awful to us, but that's not how God works. Fearing God means giving him the reverence that he deserves. We read about great men of God falling down prostrate, which means laying down, face down on the ground before God, and becoming small. And quiet, holding our tongues, because he is in heaven and we're on earth, because he is God and we are not. Fearing God is catching a glimpse of how awesome he is and acknowledging it.
He did this so all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, so that you might fear. That's pretty amazing. So the goal in all of this is not to say, look at how great CRBC is, or look at how wonderful Robin is.
Just look how wonderful
Robin is. Or look
how
wonderful Jeff
now.
Is. I like your color.
Thank you. Hey, we're all wearing blue up here.
Right on. We're all.
And our wives weren't even involved. That's amazing. The goal is look at how good God is. Look at how big God is. Look at how amazing God is. And when people see that, they want some of it. They're gonna want to get close to us so that they can get some of God on them, in them. And that's beautiful. We're going to tell some God stories now, and we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. Do any of you have a God story? And tell a God story, and grab a stone, and we're going to build this remembrance to God. You have a God story?
Yeah, I have a God story. First, to kind of share what was I supposed to go, or was I supposed to let them go first? I don't know.
You go.
I go? I took your guys' turn. I'm sorry.
No, you didn't. This is you, man.
All right. God's story working. First, to remind us kind of what of high school is like. It was this, for me anyways, it was like this dog-eat-dog world. Hang out with the popular kids. It's always this fight for popularity. And interesting thing I've seen in our youth ministry, and I've seen it, if it happened once, it'd be a God-working story, but it happens every single week. It's kids in our youth ministry at the end. They're going to go hang out at Tim Hortons, or they're going to go watch a movie or hang out on the weekend. And it's not exclusive. Every single time I see our kids want to hang out, they think, hey, we should invite this kid. He wasn't hanging out with anyone at youth group. And it's this constant God working in them, that their social time is not their own, it's God's to make a difference. And I think that's absolutely amazing, and I see it week after week in our youth ministry. So that's
cool.
It's a God working story.
Grab a stone.
Take that really big one.
Yeah, take the big one.
Take the big one.
We have to build a good foundation, which means the biggest has to go in the bottom.
Oh,
come on,
put
man.
It on your shoulder.
Let's get this one over here.
It's right here.
I think Robin and I didn't go first.
Exactly.
All right.
Good job.
Okay, how about one of you guys? A God story.
Sure, I can share. There's so many that have happened this year for me. One of the more profound ones happened right in our life group. There was a couple in our neighborhood who, it's easy to say, before we have Christ, we're far from God, just like every one of us before we accepted Christ. And we started hanging out with them a little bit. They invited themselves to our life group, which was really kind of neat. And they started coming. They still don't know Jesus. They were working through the different sermons every Sunday. And somewhere in the middle of the Jonah series, they accepted Christ. And that's not the end of the story. The really cool thing is it happened in front of our entire life group. Hmm. As we've seen, you know, you have the interactions as the questions come up and they're interacting with it. And they were very open that they weren't there yet, that they didn't believe yet. But, you know, it was 1 week after another week after another week. They accepted Christ. And I can tell you that after they accepted Christ, it was really cool for our life group because we could see God working through them. Mm. They were sharing with their family. They were inviting coworkers to church. They were, you know, it was pretty amazing. And this was a couple who'd had a, you know, some pain in their life recently, just through circumstances. But it was really cool to see how God was that big.
And they wanted to be here this morning and tell the story themselves, right? But they're away.
They're visiting family.
Yeah. And they're super excited. This is a God story. Take a rock.
Yeah, that's a story of being open to your neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I did say that I would share the name. It was Shane and Michelle who've been coming, and they're in our life group. And
they usually sit over here,
yep,
right?
And they were excited about us sharing their story, so just so you know.
That's really cool. Robin, you have a God story?
Yeah, I do. Thinking of the God stories, for me, it's no longer the program that we do and how many people I can get to come out to one of my classes. It's just not about that. What I am longing for in my own life and to see in other people's lives is the work of God that generates these God stories. And there is a lot of them. Adrian has more. We all have a lot of them, and we just want to share a few of them with you. But the one, two of them that really stick out for me, the first one being has to do with the series you did over Christmas on peace in our life group. We were discussing your message, your Christmas message on peace. And it's interesting, and I have permission to share the story. Her name is Gina. And she came into our group outside of Christ, having been raised in a Christian home, but away from it for decades. But she had come to our group, and for her, spirituality was about, you know, the world kind of being God, kind of a New Age pantheist view. And that's how her talk was in the first little while in our life group. So it's a bit awkward. But we saw a transformation in her life as she went from that kind of talk to focusing on Jesus and Jesus' talk. We just watched it. We didn't lead her through a prayer. She just stayed with us in the studies. She was in the services. We were talking about the sermons in our life group. And it was neat to see this transformation. She gave us a really neat insight into this transformation process that she's going through, and it has to do with peace. And she says, you know, I'm really, for the first time in my life, understanding this gospel of God and of Jesus. She says, at one time, I thought peace was making sure that everything around me was behaving. Everybody around me was doing what I thought they should do. It's through creating turmoil. I thought that
sound
was
familiar?
Peace. Yeah. Being able to be in control, right? And but she says, now I realize that it's actually not that. You can't do anything about the people around you per se, but when you receive the peace of God, it allows you to have that fortitude in the soul that allows you to weather through and persevere through those difficult circumstances. And to see that supernatural transformation is awesome in our life group.
That's great. And she's posting some amazing, insightful things on both Facebook and on the city that just shows the growth that she's had in the transformation that she's had in her heart. Beautiful God story. Grab a stone.
A stone.
A big one.
A big
Grab
one.
A big one. So, you know, I have heard from person after person after person about life transformation stories from people in Freedom Session. So many people who are taking Freedom Session right now are telling me that their life has changed. Just heart change after heart change. People moving from fear to freedom. People changing from a shame based life to one that's free and life giving. I've heard stories from the play school, things that God's doing through the play school, through the traditional service. There are people in our community coming to the traditional service that wouldn't go to church before because we have a traditional service where we have songs that are speaking to their hearts. It's beautiful stories, stories from the Christian school about what God's doing. What stories do you have? Some God stories. What is God doing in your life? Some transformation stories. Who has a story? Yeah, Marcia. And we're going to have a microphone run back to you there. Your lovely assistant.
Thank you. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Marcia McDermott, and 4 months ago I lost my husband very suddenly at home. And looking at this picture has really spoken to me because I can now look back in the last year and see how God was preparing me for the loss of my husband by moving me to a new community where I'm beginning to see a glimmer of a ministry that God has for me in the area that I'm now living. And I'm looking at where the car is going. And even though it is, I can't see, I know that God is with me and that he is beside me, strengthening me, and will be with me.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Thanks, Marcia. You got to. Okay.
All right.
We definitely got to move a stone for that one.
I think I got a. She said a nice decorative one. This one here has.
Oh yeah, we're a stone. Yeah.
Some nice.
Marcia, come and grab a stone.
Oh.
Marcia has to grab it.
Oh.
Come on, grab a stone.
We're gonna make you work. Right. Okay.
And you can walk up right here. We're gonna move this table for you. You can grab whichever one you want. Come and walk up over here, or you can put it there. You do it your way. There we go. Nice. All right, back here, the Carol.
I have two stories, but I'll make them brief. First of all, still can't hear me?
No, down, right? Hug your chin. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. My youngest son and his wife and three children moved to Saudi Arabia a year and a half ago. And Dale does have another brother, and he has a sister here, which we're thrilled to have our whole family home at Christmas. Anyhow, we had been praying for Aaron and the boys and Daryl for many, many years. And who would have thought that God would have moved in Saudi Arabia? And they chose to attend a little Anglican-flavored church on the compound. They can't call it church, but it's called Canterbury Fellowship. And we went to visit in March, and Aaron and the boys totally surprised us by saying, "Guess what, Mom and Dad? We're going to be baptized on Saturday."
Mm. Amen.
And so that was a thrill. And the second thing that happened was I had the privilege of spending a week with my 92-year-old brother. He was very sick, and he passed away a short time later. And, of course, I'm the youngest of nine, and my parents have prayed for him for many years, and many friends and relatives have been praying for him for years. And as far as we knew, he had never accepted the Lord. And as I said, he was quite sick, and I had been out for a walk, and I came back in. And was blind. And so I put my hand on and I said, it's Carol Murray. I said, I just went out for a walk. And he said, oh, he says, Carol, I just want to go home and be with the Lord.
Hmm.
And I said, what? I want to go home and be with the Lord. And I said, Murray, are you ready to go home to be with the Lord? He said, yes, I am. Like he was annoyed. And I said, so you've asked Christ to forgive you of your sin and accepted him as your Savior? Yes, I have. And that was about all the strength he had. So another wonderful answer to prayer after
great.
Many, many years.
Praise God. Praise God. More God stories. And upstairs, too, you can go to Aaron at the sound booth.
Agnes is right there. Steve?
The oh. Agnes?
Agnes Mayer. Oh. And then there's Paul over there.
Well, I have a life-changing story for me, and that is that 2 weeks ago today, I lost my husband. And but before he passed away, on the Thursday before, he accepted the Lord.
Mm.
So mm-hmm. now I can look forward to seeing him again.
Amen. 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 Come on up and grab a stone, Agnes. Who else we got here? We have a Daryl and we have a Bob.
Over there.
And we have a Paul. A Daryl, a Bob, and a Paul.
Okay. Well, this year, 2013, has been a year... It's been very wonderful. In a humble way, I found that just being available for people, I volunteer at the radio station here in town, and just sitting there, maybe reading a book, the the Bible, and people are walking in searching for God. Mm-hmm. And just in the last, I'd say, 2 months, more than half a dozen people have come in. A prostitute came in searching for God. Mm-hmm. Somebody who is on heroin and wants to surrender from that and find God. Mm-hmm. A grandmother came in yesterday with her grandson, a little boy 3 or 4 years old without a dad and a mom who's on drugs. And we prayed together yesterday afternoon around 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Sometimes just being available, just sitting someplace where people know that you're there or God is there, mm-hmm. and just being ready to serve is an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. You'll just be blown away. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. That's Matthew 9:37. And if you want to be touched by the Lord, talk to me.
Mm. Amen. Lots of ways to serve, yeah. Come on and grab a stone there, Paul.
Good morning. I just would like to tell people how God has changed my senses into spiritual gifts. I woke up this morning and I woke up thinking about marijuana, pot. And so I came out into the kitchen, and Darcy had just got up, and she was kind of sleepy-eyed, and I said, what's the difference, or what's the, how can we link the two together, the Bible and pot? What's the similarities? And she looked at me, and she said, what are you talking about? Well, this is where the senses comes in. I do a lot of walking, and I walk around my neighborhood as a hobby, in a sense, but to meet people. And I've been going by houses. I live in Campbellton, and about every second or third house, there's the smell, the senses of pot. And I found that rather disgusting, that so many houses had this smell coming from them. But we've got to remember that pot changes the mind, alters the mind. The Bible renews the mind. Mm. Pot causes a dullness in spirit and in the eyes, and the Bible brightens and clears mm-hmm. the eyes to the soul. I found it so disgusting that I started hiking up the hill, and I get to the top of the hill, and it overlooks all the houses, all the trailer parks, and I start to pray, God, how can you use me in this neighborhood? And then it was like, don't run from it, go to it, get personal with it, and explain Christ, the light. And I also noticed that most pot houses, probably all of them, in the trailers and the houses, they never have their curtains open. They're always closed. There's a darkness. So in my little goodie bag that I give out for Christmas, I gave a flashlight. And it was just people I met smoking pot. I give them my goodie bag and a Christmas card. And a few other things, like tea. The kind of tea I like, in case I was invited in for tea, I could have it. I'm anti-sugar. Anyways, you know, as I was walking by, I also noticed that most pot smokers smoke outside their house. So that gave me the opportunity. First I could smell it, then I could see them, and I would walk up to him and I'd notice some old firewood in the yard or something. And I'd walk up to him and say, hey, you know that old firewood out there? Have you got any plans for that? And they would say yes or no. And if they said they didn't have any plans, I said, well, I work with a lot of seniors that could use that. Do you think, you know, I could have it? And that would bring a conversation on. And then as I was invited into these homes in a little while, I found that that's where the flashlight came in handy. Because I usually found something I could fix for them. And I needed light to see what I was fixing. So there was the light. Then I was able to explain the light of God. And my goodness, I got so busy doing this, I thought, you know, I didn't have time to fix things and do things, the deed for people. And I needed to give them the truth. So I thought, in order to break down these people that wouldn't have so many houses to go to, I would just give them the gospel straight. Just give it to them. Tell them that God had a plan for their life. They didn't have to live like this. And you know what? The opposite happened. They came this way. They didn't back up. And now, through that, I have 10 trailers. At any time of the day, I can knock on and go in. And what I'm saying is, we as Christians have got to get personal. We've got to get personal, find out about them. It says up there, loving God, loving people. How do you love people? You can't love people if you don't get personal. If you don't see their sin, then the thing that catches me the most is the children. The small children living in, mom is a crack addict. Dad, he's a drunk and he's in jail. There's home after home after home, and these children, what father figure do they have to look at for the rest of their life? I had a conversation with a mother trying to raise her granddaughter, and I said, what chance has she got if you don't turn your heart to Christ? How are we going to break this? We've got to get personal. And she kind of got it. What kind of man is your granddaughter going to marry? The same kind of person you married, your daughter married. Let's get personal with people.
Amen. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Come on and grab a, we're going to have to, come on and grab a stone.
Yeah, I think, you know, God has just taken us, you know, in the past year from people who were contented, really, with serving our own needs, to really laying upon our hearts that if we close our hearts to the people who have needs around us, if we don't love our neighbors as ourselves, then our faith is useless. And so God has just taken us and opened the doors for us as we try to meet their physical needs, but also to teach them about the love of Christ as well. And we just want to say, you know, these people are being held in bondage. Their own bad choices, maybe, but the bondage of drugs, the bondage of alcohol, slavery to sin. These people are living under such oppression, and we're just crying out to God to end that oppression in their lives.
Amen.
Thank you, Brian. So, that's Brian and Darcy, and they have a great ministry in the trailer park and great people to talk to and to learn from. You need to come up and get a couple of stones for those stories.
Grab two stones. And if you want to help them in their ministry, talk to Brian and Darcy.
You'll see a lot.
Who else? Let's try and keep the story short because we have a lot of people in a short time here.
Yeah, my story is very short as a result of what Agnes just said. I just had a God moment. People may not know that I'm a hospice volunteer, so I deal with people at the hospital and in their houses that are dying. I had the privilege of talking to Agnes's husband while he was in the hospital. I can't say that he came to know the Lord as a result of a one-on-one with me, but I did speak to him about the Lord when I visited him in his hospital room. So it's kind of nice for me to know that I plant the seeds, and a lot of times we never hear back because a lot of the hospice clients I deal with, you see them 1 week and they're gone the next. So it's always nice, and that was a God moment for me to know that he is now with the Lord.
Amen.
But thank you.
Amen. Amen.
And Dale does visit many, many people in the hospital and people who are shut in. So anybody else? Natasha over here. Go over here, and then we'll go over there.
And Mary.
Sorry. Let's keep them short and sweet.
I'm going to talk really fast.
All right.
Every Wednesday night, if you came to the church downstairs, you would find about 60 of us eating dinner together and praying together and preparing for the kids that are about to come for Powerhouse. And so God's doing two major things on Wednesday night. He's building a community of families in our church that see each other at least once a week, eat together, pray together. and serve together. And then he's working through the kids that come to Powerhouse, which are boys and girls, through mentoring and skill building and just teaching them Christ's word. And so, and then we're also trying to minister to their families as well. So every 4 weeks, we invite their whole family to come and we serve their families. And so God is really moving, I think, in the families in this church, but he also is moving in the families outside of CRBC, and it's really exciting to see that. So if you're interested in serving kids or families or want to be part of that, we would love to see how God would move in your life too that way.
Cool. Come Amen. And grab a stone. And Leora,
Mary.
Leora is always comes to staff meetings so excited about stories from Powerhouse.
This year has been full of God moments just in moving to Campbell River for my wife Leah and I. And in the past few months through a life group, a need came up, and there was somebody who needed a male role model and mentor in his life. And so I volunteered through the John Howard Society. It was really neat because at the same time I was applying and going through the whole process was the time that the youth started to get the whole process of trying to send kids from the John Howard Society through to Camp Homewood. And even just talking to them about that ministry while I was doing my application, you can see the wheels are starting to turn, just that we are starting to reach out into the community and God's working there.
Amen. Fantastic. Come and grab a stone. Over here.
Yeah, these folks back there brought a story to my mind just of, I'd forgotten about it, but on Christmas for the last 5 years or so, I go down to the community center to serve the community dinner, and I brought my daughter the last few years with me, and I just remembered that there was a lady sitting there with her partner, and she said to a woman that was serving her table, "Oh, can you pray for us?" And, you know, the lady said, "Yes, I will." And that was kind of it. Not everyone there even goes to church that's serving. So I went up and to the lady and, you know, I said, "You want me to pray?" And I prayed. And I just, you know, thought that there's, I don't know, not that many years ago I wouldn't have felt comfortable doing that, but I think we have to remember that, you know, at that moment, like, it's not about us. If we just step forward in faith, then God will give us the words we need to say. And I think a lot of times there was other things that happened there, too, that another just short bit. My daughter had made some things at school, these bookmarks and something, and she had a lot of extra, so I brought a bag there and went around and I said, "Do you want to hand these out to the kids?" No, she didn't feel comfortable. And I, you know, I went and I even found myself kind of, "Oh, I wonder what they'll think," you know, but I thought, you know what, it's not about you. Like, these, if you don't go to that table, these people might think, "What's wrong with us?" Like, it's a little gift. Offer what you can offer. Step out in faith. It's not about you. Think it's the other person, and God will give you what you need to give them what they need.
Amen. Amen. Come and move a stone.
Come and grab a stone here. We have Daryl over here, and then Bob. Hurry. Move it.
Yeah, very similar sort of idea. Recently, a good friend of mine had been given his life sentence by the medical profession. Like 6 months to a year, and time is closing in fast. I had become saved a lot sooner in my life than he had. We met years later through a life group, and he always seemed to value what I knew, and he always felt like he needed to know more. He had one question that frustrated him, and it was the scripture that says, "When you seek me with all your heart." And he said it frustrated him because that "all" word was like so big that he never felt qualified. This sentence that he'd gotten, he says, "I've got the answer now." Hmm. And he says, "I don't even know if I want to get rid of it. Can I get to that place?" Even, and it's made me wonder, to get back in the game, and he is totally telling everybody about his Lord and Savior, and the tables have turned, and I'm in awe of what God is doing in his life, and he's got something that I'm looking for. Last year seemed like a very uneventful, somewhat frustrating, dry year for me spiritually at times, and I think it there again, God's saying the same thing to me, when you seek me with all your heart. And sometimes he allows us to be hungry and thirsty for him again, and we accept that, but this person's life and what God's doing in it, to come to that point where I say, do I really want to get rid of something that's given me a term, and it's made me bolder? So that event in my life has made me think my wife and I, June, are going to be involved in another life group, because that's where life begins again.
Amen. Amen. Thanks,
Daryl. Stone. That's awesome.
Well, Bob is telling his story. Why don't the worship team come on up and get ready?
I just want to say thank you to the congregation here for their prayers and encouragement, because according to the news and the government, the most traumatic situation that happened in Canada was the flood of High River. And I don't know if a lot of you realize it, but they claim that there was more water coming into High River per second than there was going over Niagara Falls. And so it was pretty traumatic. But the thing that I was so thankful of was a couple months ago in Saddlebrook, which is where 1,000 some of the people have been put up in trailers to live, there was a service held by three young men in their 30s. All of them grew up in Campbell River Baptist Church and graduated from Campbell River Christian School. You guys were a part of developing that. Two of those young men who are pastors, and one of them is a missionary, that put on that service that night. But two of those young men, according to the paper that I read from that church, have grown that church from a church of 150 to 200 in less than 1 year to over 300 people. And even with the flood, they're still growing. Ladies and gentlemen, Campbell River Baptist Church, people of Campbell River Christian School, etc., you are part of what developed those young men from 3- and 4- and 5-year-old children to become pastors and missionaries to put on a service like that. And we need to keep doing that, because it is working, and Campbell River Baptist Church is affecting and touching people, not only in Campbell River, but around the world.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Can you come and grab a stone, Bob, or you want, maybe you can hobble over here, and it's okay. Chester. All right, and chairman of board gets the last word.
I'll try and be really brief. My mom stole my story about my brother's family. And so personally, 2013, for us as a family, we continue to see, we can look back and we can see this awesome things that I couldn't see from a human perspective happen in my family and in some friendships. I've seen restoration of a fallen pastor. I've seen the saving, salvation of immediate family members and things like that. And so with my mom stealing my story, I didn't know what else to say, but the God story is simply for CRBC and on behalf of the board is what's happened here this morning. And for me personally, for probably about 20 years, I've been trying to figure out in my own life, what does this all mean here as an adult at CRBC, since I was in my early 20s through to the where I'm at now, and in this capacity of being able to serve on your behalf at the board level. 2013 has brought some incredible challenges. In that road ahead, this is just an incredible graphic as I look at it. The rearview mirror is considerably clearer than the way forward. And I just want to express our gratitude from the board and from the staff for the continued support, the prayers, the individuals here that pray for us, and we know that many of you pray for us on a regular basis, the encouraging words, the active participation in ministry for everyone that is involved in children's ministry right through to the seniors' ministry. What an incredible community to be a part of. And that's what God is calling us to be. It's just really exciting. And I, just to see the culmination of 2013 be expressed in a service like this is really, really exciting. And I want to thank Pastor Jeff and Ruth for coming to help us experience God's story, and to help us to help facilitate that connection, our story with His, and our openness to follow Him forward, even though on a human perspective it looks a little blurry. We've got some big things to look at from a human perspective that sometimes seems impossible. We know that at the end of 2014, we're going to have a little clearer picture of what God has done. So on behalf of the board and the staff, we want to really thank you for putting yourself out there, for putting faith and trust in us as we seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit in all that we do here at CRBC, and to hear the stories of the response of the call of over the last year to engage our community. It's just incredible. So,
amen. Thank you. Thanks, Dale. Grab. Help me finish building this, Dale.
God did all these things so that we will acknowledge how powerful He is.